A production of SDPB, South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Committee on House Taxation will come to order. The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Cutler?
Here.
Bikert?
Here.
Gibson?
Here.
Greenfield?
Yep.
Hunhoff?
Here.
Junkie? Kirkaby?
Here.
Kirschman?
Here.
Lang?
Here.
Lederman?
Here.
Russell?
Here.
Solem?
Here.
Thompson?
Here.
Noem?
Here.
Olson?
Here.
Mr. Chair, 14 of 15 are present.
Okay, we have a quorum present. I'd like to welcome everyone today to House Taxation, both here and on the Internet. I understand we have some guests today, the Peer Rigg Senior Government class. I would like to welcome them, and we certainly appreciate you coming to take the time to visit your government in action. Our pages for the day, could you come forward and introduce yourselves?
I'm Carmen Alcock from Britain.
I'm Lexi Weber from Britain.
Thank you. And remember, if any of you have handouts, to please go through the pages, and they will go ahead and give us a copy up here on the front desk. Also, if you wish to testify, we would ask that you would sign in back in the back of the room on the pedestal up there, especially if you haven't done so already. So with that, we will move to taking a vote on the minutes here. So if you've had a second or two to review the minutes, the chair would entertain a motion on those minutes. Motion by Greenfield, second by Fikert on approval of the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. Okay. Moving to the calendar, we will take the bills in order as they appear on the agenda. So we will start with the House Bill 1194. We will open the public hearing to House Bill 1194. Are there any proponents?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Gerald Lang from District 8, Representative. I'm here to present again.
Representative Lang, is your mic on? Sorry.
It's showing red.
How about that one?
That's showing red, but it's currently not plugged in. Okay, how's this? Same deal.
Broke it again.
It's not working. I'm a loud mouth. I can talk so everybody can hear. Yeah. Regardless if it's there. Well, this bill has been around for a while, and I have made a living at history for many years, and so I think I should share with you a benefit of a little history on this bill since we have plenty of time this morning. Last December, I thought it would be good to brief the committee on my tax philosophy, so each of you should have gotten 5 pages of information, background information, 5 pages on both sides. That's as many pages I could send for 42 cents. And I won't embarrass you by asking how many of you read it and understood it. There's at least one hand goes up. That's par for the course. I've been in education a long time, and I know that they don't always hear what I'm saying or read what I advise them to read. The history of this ill-advised tax goes back to when Ellsworth Air Force Base was built in the 1970s. The federal government agreed to pay a contractor's excise tax if every other entity in the state did likewise. So what do we have? We have school districts, county governments, we have contractors who are building our highways. Everybody pays the contractor's excise tax. So when I first introduced this, I tried to get a figure on how much of this $79 million this last year comes from other taxpaying entities. and it was at least a third. Our own school district built a new school for $13 million, and so multiply by 2%, that's quite a hit for the local taxpayers. If you take a look at my other committee, the Transportation Committee, I asked the question, how much of your highway contracting is paid in contractors' excise tax? Well, we figured it out to be about $4 million that these highway contractors send to the state. Now, my other question was, what would happen if we didn't do that? Well, it would mean $4 million for highway construction and improvements. So what the state is doing by having this kind of a tax on its books, it's simply shifting money from one pocket to the next. It's the only state in the union that thinks they can play the shell game like this and come out ahead. A few years ago, the people in Sioux Falls wanted some boost for affordable housing. So I thought, why don't we get a deduction from the contractor's excise tax, subtract that 2%, so these contractors could charge less for affordable housing. My diocese of Sioux Falls weighed in on it. Everybody thought it was a good idea, except the state of South Dakota and the majority party. So we did not make any progress whatever. Basically, what I'm saying is that this is an anti-business, anti-people, illogical tax that ought to go. Maybe not this year, but it ought to go. And the sooner the better. If you believe in free enterprise, how can you be in favor of this kind of a negative, regressive kind of tax? So my contention is that with a little rationale, and I don't expect a lot of it out here, I'd hate to be cynical, but brothers and sisters, I have been here 16 going on 17 years, and it is really, really hard to move logically, consistently, historically, and I understand that, and I shouldn't be bitter. But brothers and sisters, it's hard for me to be otherwise when I see this kind of irrationality. So with that, I will step down and hope that some of the contractors I talked to last night who wished God that they could get rid of that stupid tax, I hope that some of them are here. They know about it, and I was hoping that some of them would come, but perhaps they don't want to rattle any cages. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members.
Any further proponents to House Bill 1194? Anyone else wishing to speak in favor of House Bill 1194? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1194?
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Jane Page, Department of Revenue and Regulation. One thing Representative Lang didn't tell you was how much money this would involve. It's $79 million for the state and about $6.3 million in tribal tax. And this year happens to be the 30th anniversary of the contractor's excise tax, and it's provided revenues to the state for all those years. When the legislative body in 1979 decided to repeal the personal property tax, and I think we've mentioned this many times, this is what they put in place because they had a plan. They knew that when they repealed that personal property tax, that they had to replenish those reserves somehow. So they put this in. But this bill has no such plan, and it's kind of a tough year to take such a big chunk out of revenues. So I'm asking you to vote no on House Bill 1194. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further opponents to House Bill 1194? Seeing none. Representative Lang, I would allow you a short rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Just briefly, the total philosophy of taxation is pretty well explained in an NCSL booklet that I circulated about 15 years ago to all legislators, the philosophy of taxation and the rational way of going about it. And so that booklet, I think, might be still available, and our own distinguished Fred Botts probably can put you onto it. But I would plead with you to study, if you're going to be responsible members of the Taxation Committee, study the NCSL and what other states are doing that completely differs with what we're doing. Replacement money, stay tuned. I have several more ideas. One of them was shot down earlier this week, but I have several other rational ideas for raising money without hurting people.
With that, we will close the public testimony on House Bill 1194 and open it up to questions. Are there any questions of the committee?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Flanker.
Yes, a question for Ms. Page. Curiosity, when did the refund program begin? I know you said that the program has been, or the excise tax has been in effect for 30 years. Can you tell me what year the, I guess a couple of questions. What year did the refund program go into place? And can you give me an average or an idea of how many dollars have been refunded over that period of time?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Feichert, the original refund program went into place in the early 1990s, I believe. And it's changed over the years, and what a refund program, construction refund program is, who could qualify for it. So it's been, and then I think it, for a couple years in there was no refund program, and then it started up again. I don't have the figures in front of me. I wouldn't venture a guess right now as to what the dollar amount was from since way back then.
Further question?
Follow up.
And maybe this isn't a fair question, but would you even care to make an estimate what it might have been over all those years?
Mr. Chairman, it's many million, but I don't want to make an estimate.
Thank you. Any further questions? Seeing none, we'll close the question portion of this hearing and open it up to committee and or discussion and or action. Representative Noem.
Mr. Chairman, I would move House Bill 1194 to the 41st day.
Motion by Representative Noem, second by Representative Greenfield, to move House Bill 1194 to the 41st day. Any comments on that motion? Representative Noem.
Just a couple of comments, I guess. I feel like it's always good to have a discussion about every tax that we have, and so I appreciate the ability to have the discussion on this tax. I do recognize the opponent's viewpoint as well, that $79 million is a large hole to fill, especially in a year where we already need to come up with millions of dollars just to be able to offer the people of South Dakota a balanced budget. So I do not, however, agree with the proponent's idea that one could possibly be bitter when they have the opportunity to run for office, the opportunity to be elected, come here and present their ideas before a group, and have the majority vote. So I would like you to support the motion for House Bill 1194 to move it to the 41st day.
Thank you. Any further comments on that motion? Seeing none. All those in favor of the deferral to the 41st day will say aye. All opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Cutler?
Aye.
Feichert?
Aye.
Gibson?
Aye.
Greenfield?
Aye.
Hunhoff? Junkie?
Aye.
Kirkaby?
Aye.
Kirschman?
No.
Lang?
No.
Lederman?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Solem?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Noem?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Twelve ayes, two noes, one excused.
The referral to the 41st day motion, having received a majority vote, is hereby declared lost. Next up on the agenda, we have House Bill 1215, which you all notice is my bill, so I will be turning the gavel over to Representative Noem. Have a page come forward, please.
Thank you. We will open up the public hearing on House Bill 1215. Are there any proponents for House Bill 1215, an act to transfer funds from the tax relief fund to the general fund?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. It goes without saying that this year is a tough budget year. Yes, thank you. One to each. And as we all are trying to do our part to come up with revenue sources and program cuts, this is one thing that I came up with after Department of Revenue came and gave their initial presentation to us. There was a fund that was created some time ago called the Tax Relief Fund, and that fund was created in 2006, and it was built upon the notion that once, if ever, we get the streamlined sales tax agreement passed through Congress, that instead of the state of South Dakota simply spending all of that money that we receive, that we would funnel that money into tax relief. And if you also recall, for those of you that were here in 2006, there was another part of that bill that stated once the balance in this fund reached $10 million, that would trigger a stipend for retailers to withhold a collection allowance from their sales tax remittance. This fund has been growing over time. The handouts that you are receiving are the statutes that pertain to this, and also the condition statement that shows how this fund has been growing and what the current balance is. As I visited with the Bureau of Finance and Management, it came to my attention that the governor has already included in his fiscal year 09 budget, the amendment, I should say, that he is going to sweep the balance in that fund. And I will be handing out an amendment here shortly that will address that, because unfortunately, that number has already been included. So what the amendment will seek to do is take the revenues from the next fiscal year going forward, which, if we follow the condition statement, will be in the neighborhood of $1.5 million. So, can you hand the amendment out at this point? Mr. Botts has it. So right now, the page will be handing out the amendment that shows the proposed change for the amendment. And I'll just, as a side note, you know, we're not doing anything to change the retailer's collection allowance. It doesn't change any of the mechanism. It just takes the balance back to zero. And I think that is only appropriate in a year like this, where this doesn't cost us any money. We don't have to cut any programs to do this. So I think that this is definitely a slight pot of gold, if that's what you want to call it. It's not a lot, but it's certainly something to go forward with. So with that, I will end my testimony and stand by for the questions.
Are there any other proponents for House Bill 1215? Any other proponents for House Bill 1215? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1215? Any opponents to House Bill 1215? Seeing none, we will waive the rebuttal time and open it up to committee questions. Is there any committee questions? Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the proponent, Representative Olson, why is it that in function this would not affect the collection allowance?
Madam Chair. The collection allowance does not kick in until the fund reaches $10 million. So the fund has been climbing. And once that fund does hit $10 million, then the collection allowance kicks in. So we're just telling them to go back to square one.
Right, and your intention is to sweep some of the funds out of that, thus taking the balance down, and that would happen yearly probably. And so over time, the account will never be allowed to reach $10 million, correct?
That would be the prerogative of future legislators. This would just be a one-time sweep. And if I could, Madam Chair, after reviewing this, and this isn't something that I'm proposing we do this year, but if you look at the handout that has the code on there, you know, I'm going to maybe next year propose a change that the retail collection allowance not kick in until the same stipulations are for property tax relief. Because essentially what could have happened had we not swept this balance is we could have reached $10 million and then that would have triggered the collection allowance, which was estimated in the neighborhood of about $5 million a year, could have essentially cost us a great deal of money because, as we know, we're only getting about $1.5 million per year. But that's neither here nor there. That's not this bill. So thank you.
Further questions of the committee?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Feinberg.
For President Olson. I know the 1045C-15 talks about the sales tax or the tax that's collected to put into this fund. Can you explain a little bit more, or is there a way of explaining a little more exactly where that money comes from? Is it, yeah.
Sure. I am sure. Yes. Thank you. I apologize. I sometimes forget that we don't all know where this money comes from. Right now, we only have voluntary remittance of sales tax from out-of-state retailers. There was a Supreme Court decision that said states cannot enforce the remittance of sales tax, and you know that's the whole thing with the streamlined sales tax. Once we get there, hopefully we'll get there someday. I'm hoping that Scott Peterson can come and brief us on where we're at with that. But right now we have a number of retailers that are voluntarily remitting that, and this fund was created to capture those voluntary remittances. Thank you.
Further questions of the committee? I have a question, Representative Olson. My question is, you made reference to the fact that the governor has already included these funds in his budget. Can you tell me how much he included in his budget and where in his budget that's reflected?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. To my understanding, that when he presented his budget and the some it was included in the other revenues portion of his budget, and I'm not exactly sure on the amount, but it was in somewhere in the neighborhood of 3.5 or 3.6 million. I talked to Bureau of Finance and Management this morning, and they said they are in the process of crafting that language. So I'm going to follow up with them on the exact amount that they were including in their other revenues that will be proposed in a Senate bill.
Thank you. Further questions of the committee? Seeing no further questions, I will open it up to committee action and or discussion. Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This bill, or I should say this issue, has a storied history. Taking you back to 2006, there was House Bill 1110, which established the collection allowance for retailers. Retailers have been not so much voluntarily, but mandated for the past 14 years, I believe, to collect and remit tax to the state without any compensation for doing so. Prior to 1995 or 1994, somewhere in there, they were actually allowed a collection allowance, and we felt it proper to give them just a small, or allow them to keep a small pittance, if you will, for being the tax collectors for the state. When it passed the House, it came out with 63 votes in favor. On the Senate side, it got bogged down and ultimately was tied to this fund in order to ensure passage. Now we're going to sweep the fund, thus rendering what was done in 2006 null and void. I think it's disingenuous to do that, especially after the very profound efforts of the South Dakota retailers all across the state. You know, there were a lot of people put in a lot of effort in getting that mechanism put in place, and I would desperately ask the committee not to pass this bill, if nothing else, out of respect for our South Dakota retailers, who again had it forced down their throats that you will be the tax collectors for the state, but you won't receive any compensation for acting in such capacity. Thank you.
Further committee discussion and or action? Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Could you tell me what this $3,500,000 is going to be used for?
Representative Olson, would you like to answer the question?
Sure. I'm not really sure, actually. You'd have to, it's going to backfill the deficit from 2009. I don't think there's anything that's specifically tied to a program or anything like that. We had a very considerable deficit from 2009 since the economy slowed down since we last proposed our budget. And so this was, to my knowledge, going to just offset that deficit as much as possible. So the more we take out of here, the less we have to take out of reserves.
Further committee discussion and or action? Representative Kirkaby.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Reviewing the current statute that where these funds are proposed to be taken out and applied to the general fund, I certainly do have not only concerns, but it's difficult for me to actually take something that was created just a couple years ago specifically mentioned to support tax relief. Where the proposal is sitting right now in the governor's last budget address and or recommendation, it does appear that we're heading to have no dollars in our property tax relief fund. And the intent of this particular codified law specifically says it's for the purpose of reducing the rate of taxation or reducing property taxes. And personally, I just think it would be at this time, it would be irresponsible of us to offer attempts to, in all essence, it looks like it'll eventually be heading to totally deplete another form in our budget as far as having to reduce property taxes. Madam Chair, that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Further committee discussion and or action? Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I'm sympathetic to Representative Kirkaby's and Representative Greenfield's argument, but I wonder what the alternative is. At some point along the way here in these 40 days, we have to balance the budget and we have to find some funds. And the alternative to using some one-time funds like this is really to raise taxes. And I don't see a lot of interest in this body. And I think that's a good thing that we want to resist tax increases on people across South Dakota. So I think we're going to have to work together to find what funds we can find over the next one or two fiscal years to put a budget together and to try to maintain essential services. And this looks like a decent partnership to me.
Representative Cutler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move 1215 FA.
Motion is to move amendment House Bill 1215 FA. Any
second.
Seconded by Representative Junkie. Any comments on that motion?
No.
All right. The motion before us is to move amendment House Bill 1215 FA. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion passes. Amendment 1215 FA is adopted. Any further committee discussion and or action? Representative Hunhoff?
Second.
Motion before us is do pass motion on House Bill 1215, moved by Representative Hunhoff, seconded by Representative Cutler. Any comments on that motion? Do pass as amended. Thank you. The motion is House Bill 1215, do pass as amended. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the vote.
Representative Cutler?
Aye.
Feigert?
Aye.
Gibson?
Aye.
Greenfield?
No.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Junkie?
No.
Kirkaby?
No.
Kirschman?
Aye.
Lang?
Aye.
Lederman?
No.
Russell?
No.
Solem?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Noem?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Ten ayes, five noes.
House Bill 1215 passes with a do pass motion to the floor. We will move on in our committee discussion, and I will hand the gavel back to Representative Olson, Chairman.
Thank you. Next up, we will open the public hearing to House Bill 1190. Are there any proponents to House Bill 1190?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Representative Jerry Lang from Madison, South Dakota, and I'm here on behalf of those who are having a problem buying groceries. We're the only state in surrounding area and probably one of the few states in the nation that still charge sales tax on essential groceries. And so what I thought might be a good idea if we could is to go partway, subtracting 2 cents from the state's 4 cents on groceries. Replacement money, there is a way to replace it. I have a couple of propositions coming up that would take care of it. I realize it's a tough year and that we need every penny we can get from any source we can get it. And that one source that seems to be sacrosanct is to take it from some who've got it. Those who have it could have been taxed by the 1099 interest, dividends, and so on. There will be other proposals to replace this money. It is not impossible, and it would be a great step forward to make our state more progressive and more humane. With that, I'll step down and answer any questions.
Thank you, Representative Lang. Any further proponents to House Bill 1190? Any further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1190?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Jane Page, Department of Revenue and Regulation. Lowering the tax rate to 2% on food would be about a $22 million cut to revenues this year, and that's if we exclude candy, soft drinks, dietary supplements, tobacco, and alcohol. They'd still remain at 4%. It's also about a $1 million to the reservations. There is no replacement tax in the bill, and I'd say it'd be a little bit premature to pass this if there was no guarantee that the funds would be replaced. And again, this is a tough budget year for everyone, and $22 million is a huge amount. So I ask you to vote no on House Bill 1190. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Page. Are there any further opponents to House Bill 1190? Any further opponents? Seeing none, Representative Lang, I'll give a short rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. There is one moderating consideration. Those people who are spending all their income now just to survive, if you give them that 2% they don't have to spend on food, that will be spent in the economy and it will generate sales taxes. So the $22 million you're losing isn't all lost. Thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. We'll close the public testimony and hold it open to questions of the committee. Are there any questions of the opponents or proponents? Seeing none, we will close to committee action and or discussion. Action or discussion.
Mr. Chairman. Oh, go ahead.
Representative Kirkaby.
Motion to send House Bill 1190 to the 41st legislative day.
Second. Motion by Kirkaby, second by Junkie, to send House Bill 1190 to the 41st day. Any comments on that motion? Representative Kirkaby. Any other further comments on that motion? Representative Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just learned this morning that the food pantry in Yankton is just about out. The shelves are bare, and they're making an appeal for food because a lot of people in South Dakota are hurting, and I think Representative Lang has the best interests of a lot of really hardworking and suffering South Dakotans at heart. The $22 million, was that the figure I heard, though? It's just too big a hole for this year, but I think his bill is the right bill. If we could have the right year when we could afford to do this, I would be a big supporter of it. As it is, we need to fill the budget, and I can't support it.
Thank you. Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'd also like to commend Representative Lang for his plight for the poor, and the food pantries in Huron are at an all-time low. We're serving more people than ever, too, which signifies that there is a big lack of money in our communities, particularly our rural communities. And perhaps we can find a solution to this by offering some kind of an alternative at some point in time. But thank you, Representative Lang, for presenting this.
Thank you. Any further comments? We'll just make a quick comment. I think this bill's probably been here in some form or another for as long as I've been here, at least. And, you know, whether you like it or not, this is the structure of our tax structure. And the food tax is probably one of the most stable taxation or tax items that we have. And especially in a year like this, where all of the discretionary spending has gone by the wayside, I think we would be at a terrible loss at losing this tax. You know, we've talked about the streamlined sales tax agreement, and until we can come up with an alternative, I'd probably support. I may even support this if we can ever get that passed. Maybe even over property tax relief, because I think that perhaps that is in some cases, an undue burden on our poor folks in South Dakota. But until that time, we come up with an acceptable replacement in revenue. Now is just not the time. So with that, we will move to the vote. All those in favor say aye. All opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Cutler.
Aye.
Bikert.
Aye.
Gibson.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Junkie.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Kirschman.
No.
Lang.
No.
Lederman.
Aye.
Russell.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Thompson.
No.
Noem.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, 12 ayes, 3 noes.
The deferral motion to the 41st day, having received a majority vote, is hereby declared lost. That clears our calendar for the day. We have a few more bills that trickled in. So be mindful of the agenda coming in. Unless there are any other items before the committee, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Gibson. We have a second by Representative Thompson. Any comments on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. We are adjourned.